And we are here on our first edition after Christmas on the War Room here at KLKC. I am your host, Sean Fry, and I'm joined by LeBec County High School girls basketball and golf state alum, Bemji State point guard, and probably my favorite athlete I've covered in 6 years of being here, Erica Gartner. Erica, always great to see you. I don't think I've seen you since, what, after your freshman year?
Yeah, at Bemji State? when we did that interview.
Yeah. So. Seems like every time you're back in town, I'm like, let me get an hour of Erica's time to talk to her about life. But you know, great to have you back. I know you. I know you're enjoying your time up at Bemji. I wanted to jump right in, because I feel like this story really highlights why I've always had this kind of affinity and affection for the 2 years I got to cover you and all the lore that goes behind it. And it literally is the last thing I did covering you is after your game against Wellington. For those who don't know, LeBec County, obviously, they've made the state tournament for the 5 years I've been here. And Erica's senior year, they made the state tournament, got to the semifinals, lost to a really good Bishop Miege team that nobody, there was no shame in that.
Right.
They go to the third place game against Wellington, who has a Nebraska commit on that team. And game goes down to the wire, and Wellington hits just inside half court. They hit a runner to win the game.
Yep, banked it in.
Banked it in. And I talked to Erica, and this is really what has stuck out to me over the years. And so I'm basically just asking you a follow-up. Is after the game, I pulled you for an interview. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, first off, as a kid, who was probably going through one of the more painful times in her life at that moment, one of the more painful moments of her life. Thank you for talking to the local sports writer when you could have easily just said, you know, screw off.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's important for athletes to do that regardless of the outcomes. But
the quote that stood out to me that day was, I asked you, like, what's next? I know you're going to college. You've got all this life in front of you. What's the next step you take? And you talked about what you were going to do that night, and you said, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to watch film on this game, and it's going to suck, but I'm going to sit in my room in the dark and do it.
Yeah.
And obviously that hit me, because I was like, man, she wants to face this right head on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you actually go home and watch it?
I watched a little bit. I remember I watched definitely the end. I probably replayed Definitely the end. I replayed it probably 10 times, because what stood out in my mind wasn't necessarily the shot. It was our possession before. I took a shot with probably 8 seconds left. I could have ran it down, but and it got blocked, and it gave them the opportunity. So for me, it was just that learning experience of the possession before it happened. Like, it shouldn't have happened in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so just taking that as a learning.
Without seeming hypercritical 3 minutes into what's going to be an hour-long episode, I, to be honest with you, Erica, I've had conversations with different people before. That's what I said was, as much as it sucks to get half-courted on,
it shouldn't have happened.
And I wonder what was going through your mind when you took that when you took the shot you did.
Yeah.
Because you, and what's crazy about that last minute or two of the game, both you guys and Wellington had chances just to completely close it out.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I think you guys were both up 4 or 6 within the last 2 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
And I mean, they were just close it out with free throws.
Several possessions that I think, you know, could have been done differently, and it would have changed the whole
dynamic.
You had
played so well that whole state tournament, too.
Yeah.
And that doesn't take away. Another one of my favorite moments that you came in that state tournament was you guys played against McPherson in that first round and won it. And whoever you were guarding at one point in, like, the third quarter, you stepped off her and said, shoot it.
Yeah.
And she shot it, and she takes, like, 3 straight threes. None of which really looked good or going in. And the coach called a timeout. And I remember he called a 30-second timeout. And I didn't really see him make many adjustments other than yank her off the floor.
Right, yeah. I mean, the scouting report was, you know, she was more of an attacker as opposed to a shooter. Mm-hmm. And so, for me, that's, okay, make her make one before you actually, you know, fully respect her. And it's not that I didn't respect her, but, you know, make that first one. And, okay, I'll give you that respect. And after 3 misses... keep on shooting them, man.
Keep shooting. You had so many moments like that just showed your competitiveness, slapping the floor against Chanute. Down one, by the way. Down one, and you're sitting there slapping the floor saying, come on.
Yeah.
That was such a weird game because that game basically determined an SEK title. It was in Altamont. The game ended up being in the 20s on both sides.
I think Tristan had like...
And Tristan had 20.
And Reed had like four. So and like, then that was our scoring.
And I think you had one.
Yeah. Something.
And I think that was it. Yeah. I think, you know, I think... And Tristan hit the game-winning three off your steal.
Yeah.
Which was right after you slapped the floor. Yeah. I think every time you had a held ball, you were ripping it away.
Still do that.
Good job, Erica. What does your college coach say about that? Like, have you ever gotten teed up for it or anything like
no,
that?
No, no. If anything, again, they'll come over and say, you know, just to calm it down. But, I mean, at that point.
You... Then you tell the ref to bugger off.
I wish. But, yeah.
Oh, the other one that I remember was, and again, I think some of my favorite stories come after losses because I really... Because I can see how much it hurts.
Right.
And I wish more people felt like that. Mm-hmm. The people, when I was a manager at K-State, the players and the managers and even a coach here and there that I just could not stand were the ones that would go out to Aggieville the night after losses.
Right.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
And when Bruce Weber came, one of our assistants, Chester Frazier, he's an assistant at Virginia Tech now. He had a term for those people, and I love it. He called them two-time losers because they lost that day, mm-hmm. and they're losers for going out because of that.
Yeah,
I love it.
That is. Yeah, that's good.
But my another favorite story of mine of you is after a loss to Pittsburgh, I believe you're again your senior year. Yeah. You know where this is going. You Tanshaw. And I have just... I think that game also decided the league crown. I don't know what you did your freshman year. I know you had won the SEK the last 2 years, though. And then
I don't think we won it either my sophomore or freshman year. Our sophomore year was a down year for us.
Okay.
And then the freshman
year. I know
year,
you won it your junior.
Yeah.
And then senior. And then, but your senior year, you lost to Pittsburgh at home. And it was so I never know the name of it. It's Tamashaw.
Tamashaw,
which is like the winter homecoming at Labette County. You were one of the queen candidates, out of six or seven or however many it is. And anytime they had that halftime, I was like, "This is too long."
Yeah,
I just agree. Because they did it halftime of the boys' game and be like a 20-minute halftime. And I remember seeing you out there, and obviously you were all dressed up and dolled up and made up and everything, and I'm like, and I could just see the look on your face when you were out there. I was like, she wants to be in the gym shooting shots. Yeah. She doesn't want to really be here right now.
Definitely not. The last place I wanted to be after that game was in a dress in front of people. Yeah.
And they run through the candidates, and I'm standing next to Heather Wilson during all of this, and they named you queen. Like, they came over to PA and named you queen.
Yep.
And I looked at you, and you just mouthed as clear as day the F word.
I don't know about that.
You just go, oh, and Heather and I both saw it clear as day, like across the gym too.
Yeah.
And we just could not stop laughing about it.
Well, I mean, yeah.
It's so, that is the story that encapsulates you right there.
Pretty much. Yeah. Good stuff.
You know, I am curious what you look back on at Labette County now that you're a senior in college. You know, by the time I got to a senior in college, my high school, granted, my high school experience is very different. I was not an athlete in high school. I did not like my high school. I didn't really get along with hardly anybody.
Right.
It was a big high school with 3,000 kids there in the D.C. area. Yeah, you're shaking your head now. No. That seems overwhelming.
Hard pass.
And it was difficult for me, and so I was very happy to get away from it the instant I did.
Right.
Now, not to say it was all sunshine and rainbows for you at Labette County. Every kid goes through their struggles, but I think you had more success. You were definitely more impactful into a smaller community during your time there. Now that you're about 4 years removed from it, how do you kind of reflect on it now?
It's just a weird thing. I never really expected that going into high school, especially as a freshman. I didn't think I would play right away. Like, I just went in with, you know, an attitude of, okay, you know, what's going to happen is what's going to happen. And then you know, we ended up going to state, and I started, and it was just this big thing, and that continued over the 4 years, and I didn't think I'd have an impact on, like I did. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I did it. Looking back, I think it made my high school experience what it was. I had a really good time with all the people I played with, and, you know, even coming back now, people ask me all the time, like, I had someone at the bank, I have no idea who this person is, and they're asking me how basketball is, and that happens a lot, like, yeah. People are asking me, they know who I am, and like, I'm sorry, I have no idea who you are, I'll gladly talk to you, but I honestly have no idea who you are, and so just that is kind of mind-blowing and humbling, for sure.
You're very much a legend in your own right in Altamont, Kansas, for what you did over 4 years, yeah. And, you know, maybe you didn't score 2,000 points, but mm-hmm. for two of Tristan's years and for your 4 years, I mean, you were the point guard.
Right.
You were the point guard on a team, there's so many moments that stand out. There's so many games that, for one, did you ever lose to Parsons?
No.
Never lost to your arch rival?
I don't think so, no.
Never lost to your arch rival. Tristan never did that either. They did the year after she left.
Yeah.
But, never lost to your arch rival. That in and of itself is an accomplishment.
Right.
Went to state, what, 2-3 times?
3 out of my 4 years.
3 out of your 4 years, you go to state, and you dress for varsity.
Yeah.
And 2 of those years, it's your junior and senior year, and you're the starting point guard. You're one of the best. You're one of the best players out there. Beat Taylor Robertson, the girl from McPherson, who's at Oklahoma.
Killing it in Oklahoma right now. It's awesome to see from her.
Do you ever think about that? Do you ever see that? Like, do you ever tell your teammates that or your coach when you're at Benji and maybe you're sitting on the bench during a game and you're like, I can guard that girl. I guarded a girl that's killing it at OU. You guys can come on, where were you at?
Right.
But I
mean,
to
some degree, I like to, you know, I talked about her a lot because, I mean, she was, what did she drop, 20 on UConn?
Who?
Taylor.
I think so, something like that, yeah.
I mean, just, yeah, just insane. But, I mean, up there even – some of the girls have played with girls that go to, like, North Carolina right now and just different Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's people all over, but, yeah, for sure. She's a big one.
The one more reminiscence story that just popped into my head. I've told this story as many times as I can count. Yeah. But do you remember the game against Girard at Girard, I believe, your senior year that you won?
I remember some of it.
Yeah. Okay. I remember it was the game. I can't remember if it was your junior or senior year. I think it was your junior year. Because I think your senior year, Girard beat you.
It was in Girard?
At Girard. It was a really close game, but then you guys went on a big run at the end of the third and start of the fourth quarter. Ended up winning by like 16.
Yeah, I want to say that was my senior year.
Okay. The one thing that stood out to me for you on that game is I watched the KOAM highlights afterwards, mm-hmm. and like the highlight that stood out to me was you got, I think, either a rebound or a steal, and Clancy Sorrell had leaked out,
mm-hmm.
and you just fired the ball one-handed to her, and she was probably 20 feet in front of the pack, and you didn't even move.
No.
You just stood there and let her lay it
That's
up.
That's some of my favorites.
and the camera, I think it was Andy Sciatecco for KOAM who was at that game.
Mm-hmm.
Great camera work, I might add, because she caught you getting the pass, zoomed in down. So she's standing on the opposite baseline. So she zooms in down on Clancy making the layup, and then she zooms back out at you, and she catches you just like pumping your fist.
Yeah.
Great shot.
Yeah.
After that game, though, if you remember, I don't – Gwen Dean had her career night that night.
I think I remember that, yeah.
On Ashley Ray, who's at K-State mm-hmm, now.
Right.
And Gwen Dean put 18 on her head.
Oh, I think I remember that.
For context, you guys played Parsons later that week, and Gwen had 2.
Yeah.
And played a bad Parsons team, might I add. And after the game, the player I talked to was Gwen.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a big game because both of you guys were ranked in mm-hmm. 4A was split at that time, but you guys are both ranked like top 2 in the class.
Uh-huh.
And Gwen and I think Girard won state that year.
Probably
on their half. And I talked to and so I ran a recap, and there were two parts of that recap that stood out. One, I wrote about this play in the game where there was a loose ball that was going towards your guys' bench.
Mm-hmm.
And Sidney Crane for Gerard and Tristan Gegg mm-hmm. were both going after it. And Tristan was a little closer to it. I think she would have got it anyway. Mm-hmm. So Sidney just gave up pursuit mm-hmm. and said, okay, I'm just going to, and just sat down. Right. And I'm gonna wanted to lock up. And so Tristan picked up the ball, and she's about maybe 5-6 feet behind the line. And she saw the space Sidney gave her and saw that the loose ball wasn't contested.
Yeah.
So she just fired a three and hit it in her face.
Yeah.
And that, I think, gave you guys the lead. Mm-hmm. That was part of this big run, and that's what gave you guys the lead. And so I wrote in my recap that the basketball gods made Sidney pay penance for her sin. And for context, I got some complaints on that from Gerard community.
Yeah,
and
of course.
And so I texted some people. I was like, what do you do if you don't want to be in the newspaper for not going after a loose ball?
Right.
What's your answer to that?
What do I do? Go after it.
Go out. Exactly. That's the right answer. Well, then secondly, Gwen had said something to the – because I asked Gwen, why did you have the night you had going up against Ashley Ray, mm-hmm. who's going to K-State? And yeah. she goes – well, I felt like I was more slender and agile than her, so I worked around and I got position and I just took my shot.
Yeah.
Fair answer, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Ashley Ray's grandmother, or I'm sorry, mother, sends me this lengthy email after the game.
Oh, goodness.
And she goes off about how I'm like ruining her daughter's life, and how dare I make her seem like she didn't try her best, and I might scar her and everything. And I didn't respond this way, but what went through my head was, and without sounding inappropriate, but I wanted to tell her that, ma'am, your daughter is tall, blonde. She was a homecoming candidate that night, right. So she's pretty.
Yeah.
She is a D1 basketball commit. She is athletic and talented and on a good basketball team. Your daughter's life is going to be awesome.
Right. I don't think this one thing is going to...
That one recap of one loss is not going to stop her
right.
from living the best life God ever intended. And I don't think your parents would have ever done that.
I hope not.
Exactly. We're going to go to a quick break here. When we come back, more Erica Gartner, Bemidji State point guard, Labette County alum. Don't go anywhere here on KLKC. And we are back here on the War Room with Erica Gartner. Erica, we were just going after. I read you that email off air from Ashley Ray's mother. I think you can comfortably say your parents would have never sent that.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't think your parents would ever need to send that because you would have gone after that loose ball. You would have had a bloody. My favorite photo I ever ran of you was a feature I did where you had the bloody nose.
Yeah. I remember that picture.
A blatant choice, by the way.
Yeah.
On my part. I was like, Erica may not like this. My readership will, though.
Yeah.
This is who she is. She is bloody out there every day, whether it's literal blood or not. I mean, I know she leaves every game with bumps and bruises and scars and everything.
Right.
You get this question a lot, but now that it's 4 years, I want to ask the question with the perspective and hindsight of having gone 4 years, mm-hmm. you went a long way to college up mm-hmm. at Bemidji. Am I saying that right? Bemidji?
Bemidji. Yeah.
Bemidji State up in Minnesota. You know, that is, it's a different climate, different culture, different everything from Southeast Kansas.
For sure.
But that was a purposeful choice you made to go up there
right.
and pursue that.
Yeah.
And I'm curious as to why you made that move. What was behind all that, and do you feel like it was right now that you're going so far away from home, now that you're a senior
yeah.
and you have time to kind of reflect on that
choice? I would make that choice 100 times over.
Mm-hmm.
But the choice came from just not feeling, I wouldn't say comfortable here, but I'm just not made for the SEK. I love it here. I love my family. My family's all here. I went to school here. It was a great experience. But for me, I wanted something different for my college experience. And so Bemidji allowed me to do that. And it also gave me a sense of home, which is kind of weird. But Bemidji up there is a lot similar down here. There's mm-hmm. a lot of people who fish and a lot of people who hunt, mm-hmm. and it's very outdoorsy. Of course, it's ice fishing and, you know, different things like that, but there are a lot of similarities where I could feel comfortable but also be away and get something, you know, a different experience, like the weather and like the people and just all of it in general.
When I was at K-State, I swear, and this extended beyond athletics, although there are a few athletes from the area, there were a lot of people from Minnesota that went to K-State. Right. I would say outside of Kansas, probably Minnesota was the most attended, had the most students at K-State. Yeah. And the general answer I got from them was they wanted something different, but, you know, there's still similar, there's a lot of similar values there. You're not going to California,
right,
where it's just, it's radically different. Mm-hmm. It's similar enough, but, you know, you're going to get a different, what's some of the, and you just went over a little bit. I'm curious as to the culture, what you've experienced different compared to Southeast Kansas to Minnesota. I would imagine at least, you know, not to get too political, I imagine it's a little more liberal up there.
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm. Minnesota in general is a Democratic state, but I think up there it's just,
I think that lines up with your values a little bit.
Yeah, it does, for sure. And I didn't realize that until I went up there. Like, I didn't know, I'd never been to Minnesota prior to, so I didn't really know anything much about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that it's progressive. It's definitely more progressive. The thing I like about Minnesota is how environmentally conscious it is, and that's something huge for me. I'm in the process of getting an environmental studies minor with my degree, and so that was something that I picked up while I was there, just how environmentally conscious they are and how progressive they are in that field. So that's something that's different from here. But I think, you know, some of the same things are, you know, church is a big thing up there, like down here. And, you know, it's just that Midwest vibe of, you know, family and nice and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And me politically, I've had such the unique travels. So my dad lives in Hawaii.
Right.
Super invited. It's the most Democratic state in the country. I promise you that.
Yeah.
And it is also very environmental there because it's a different ecosystem than it is on your continental United States.
Yeah.
And they are super concerned with preserving it. And I love that aspect of it because every time I go to Hawaii, you're just overwhelmed by the beauty of it. Mm-hmm. I remember once, surely there's no causation here, although it is in my head, is I went there one time to see my dad a couple years ago, and I just had like the worst cold or flu or whatever it was. I just felt like total dog, and I landed, and in about 6 hours I felt better.
Right.
And I was like, man, just the air and everything in here, it's just healing in its own right.
Yeah.
And then from a political and cultural perspective, I've always considered myself middle right a little bit. If I had to put something on it, there's certain issues that I'm probably super right on, and there's super issues I'm as far left as it gets.
Right.
But middle right is how I would collectively describe myself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I was living in D.C. in the suburbs there, super Democratic there, they all think I'm just as conservative as it gets. I'm a total right winger.
Really?
Well, now that I live here in Southeast Kansas, everybody thinks I'm a libtard.
Right.
And you know, I follow your Twitter, and I see the values you espouse, and I would say you and I probably align on most things.
Yeah.
By the way, your Twitter's great. I think your Twitter's just so funny.
Thank you.
What was a tweet that really had me dying the other day? It was you tweeted out a screenshot of your mom, of a text, of a conversation with your mom.
Was it the...
And I don't know the context, but you told her, get that bread.
Yeah.
Which is obviously cool. You'll feel like, go get money or whatever.
Yes.
And your mom replies, I kept thinking, how does she know I'm making toast?
Yeah, that was just the other night. Like I said, she works down in Tulsa, so, you know, she said she got home and she was getting ready to go to bed or whatever. She had to go to work, and I said, go get that bread. Mm-hmm. And she thought she thought I meant actual bread.
I love that. I don't know why I thought that was so funny. It's just, that's just who you are, though. You're going to be yourself, whether it's you're talking to your parents or you're talking to me or you're talking to whoever.
Right.
Erica, a big reason I brought you on today was obviously I read the article in the Bemidji Pioneer, which is the newspaper up there, up in the college.
Mm-hmm.
Great article written by Micah Fries. I'm guessing it is last name.
Yeah. It's called Micah.
And it was about your fight and struggle and battle with mental health issues, specifically anxiety and depression, and how you've dealt with that over 4 years. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, reading that to me gave me a new perspective on all the stories we just reminisced about right. at the top of this. And mental health is something I've battled myself a lot too. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to come off with, so I guess I'll open with that article specifically. What was the process at which the reporter came up to you and asked to talk to you about it? You know, what was the interview like? What was that whole process of getting that article to fruition?
Right. He messaged me on Twitter after a game or something. I don't remember when it was. It was kind of at night. I think it was. And so he sent me, I guess a year ago I had tweeted like a picture of like a note I had in my phone that I had written.
Which he embedded into the story.
Right. And he sent me that and he just said that he wanted to write an article and if I'd be up to it, if I wanted to talk on, you know, my battle and just kind of go into specifics about that. And I said, you know, of course, you know, I want to be, you know, an advocate in ways that I can. And so we set up a time in the week and he had some questions and we just kind of sat there and talk through it. And
where were you at? Were you in the gym? Were you?
We were in the like an area outside the gym, like a study kind of area. So, yeah.
What was that interview like? What was? I mean, how long did it last? Were they fairly pressing questions or what?
There were some that were kind of pressing, but I think for the most part it was pretty broad. I didn't want to go.
Which is the vibe I got from the story.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah. And so it took. We planned about an hour, but I'd say it took probably 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. He just had some questions, and so.
It's the only reporter I've ever heard of going under his limit. Yeah. I usually ask for an hour and go two.
Yeah.
That's the one restriction on this radio deal that I can't stand is I have a specific time limit right. I have to hit.
Right.
I've done profiles on people where, do you remember the one I did on Snyder? I think you were still there when I did a big profile on Snyder.
I want to say so, yeah.
I think I talked to her for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
That's
a lot for her.
That's a lot for Coach Snyder, considering she will give me like 4 minutes after a state tournament game.
Right, right.
Like, surely there's more we could talk about one of your biggest wins ever.
Right.
But, you know, I'm curious as to what you thought about that. What was the response you got from that article? How did you, you read it. What did you think about it? Everything like that.
I was kind of nervous just because I didn't know how he was going to phrase it and like how he was going to do it. But I thought he did a really, really good job. Mm-hmm. And the response was overwhelming, really.
Just I'm sure not you got only, it from people you never heard of.
Right, yeah. People up there, I had people stop me like after a game or, you know, whatever, and like, hey, I read your article. I think it's really brave. And even on social media, people down here, just the reaction and how many people texted me or, you know, mm-hmm. emailed me or messaged me just saying, you know, thank you for this and thank you for being open. You know, I know this person who struggles or I struggle with this. And it was just a way to connect with people and just really start more of a conversation, which was what I intended, really.
Absolutely. Do you – I'm curious as to was there any response in particular – no matter the source that really stood out, was it a follow-up, you know, whether it was just some tweet from some person or somebody stopping you, was there one in particular that really kind of sticks out in your head, and what was it?
I had a couple people tell me I was their idol, which was weird. Like, I don't want to be anyone's idol. Don't look at me. But I think it was just because of, you know, I had gone on this journey, and I was at a point where, you know, I felt like I had enough peace with myself and enough confidence in myself to actually put that out there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why they call me their idol, but I'll take it, I guess.
Yeah. Erica, let's go to a quick break, but we're going to keep talking about this when we come back. More from Erica Gartner, Bemidji State point guard, LeBec County alum here on KLKC, here on the War Room when we get back. And we're back here on the War Room. I'm joined by Erica Gartner. Erica, there was an article published in the Bemidji Pioneer newspaper up in Minnesota that talked about your battle with depression and anxiety and mental health. And that's what we've been talking about for a little bit. I asked you before we went live, is anything off the table? And you said no.
No.
And so I want to put that to the test.
Okay.
Goodness. In your mind, how does your anxiety, your depression, how does that manifest itself?
With my anxiety, I would say the majority of it is like my day-to-day things. Like if I go to like the grocery store, like I have to have headphones in, I avoid people in certain aisles. Like it's just little things like that are like annoying and And so that stuff builds up, and that's where I get my panic attacks. But my panic attacks usually come from, like, smaller things that have built up. Mm-hmm. And then...
What's an example, since you've been at Bemidji, when you had a panic attack, what was something that set it off? And how did you experience that, and how did you get past it in that moment?
It was last year around finals week. I remember coming out of a test, and I was just... It was one of my better classes. I think it was, analytical chemistry or something, and we had like four problems you had to do on a test, and that was the final. And I remember I struggled on one of the questions, and I left the room, and I just could not stop thinking about it, and I just worked and we had practice afterwards, and I just could not do it. I broke down. I started crying. I just was overwhelmed, and it was just because of a test question. And it was just something small like that gets me sometimes. There was another time after a game. This was when I really felt like I had a problem. After a game, it wasn't even a bad game. I don't know why it was what it was, but I went in the training room, and I was in a fetal position, and I started crying, and you can't catch your breath, and
In a fetal position.
Yeah, that's how I.
That's how you experience it.
Yeah, just kind of curled up and super tense and hard to catch my breath.
Who was in the training with you? Was it just the trainer, or was it just you?
At first, it was just me because I just wanted to be alone. And then after 5 or 10 minutes, she came in and
the trainer.
Yeah, okay. The athletic trainer, and she came in and just kind of talked me through it and made sure no one. Saw or was that I wasn't embarrassed or anything like that, so that helped.
Good for her.
Yeah, she's been huge for me and a lot of people. But and then my anxiety overall is just about the future, and that's a big thing for me, and that's where my depression stems from. They kind of feed off of each other, really.
Yeah.
And so when I get really depressed, I don't leave bed. It'll be on a Saturday or Sunday, and I won't leave bed all day. I won't eat for, 24 hours. I'll tell someone,
which can be so debilitating for a college athlete. And that just makes everything worse.
Yeah. I mean, it makes it super hard, during season, I've lost 10 pounds already, and it's just my anxiety and depression just, because I don't eat. I don't eat, and I have trouble sleeping some nights. I won't go to bed till 2, and I'll have class at 8, and it's just this whole cycle of, just my health declining in general, and it just,
Has that had any effect on your athletic career?
I would say so, yeah. Just in particular the last couple of years, just with, I said in the article, it just starts to spill into different parts of your life, and I've seen that in my relationship with my family and my friends. I push them away, I didn't tell my family for a long time because... I'm up in Minnesota. They're already worrying enough about me because I'm away. To add this extra layer of, depression and anxiety, they're going to start, worrying a lot more. And I didn't want that for them. And so I kept that a secret. And I even did that with my teammates because it's just something that you feel like you have to deal with by yourself. You don't want to burden someone with your problems.
Yeah.
And that's where it gets scary, and that's where it gets dangerous for a lot of people.
What could, when you're experiencing, not even necessarily just experiencing a panic attack, but when you're just sitting in your apartment alone, not eating, I don't know, my guess is you're probably watching film a lot that, or watching something.
Yeah, watching basketball mostly.
Yeah.
But even then, I find myself not interested in it. And that's when I feel like I'm really,
you're
really
just low. Watching it to pass the time.
Right. Yep.
What could someone do? If, if someone just shot you a text or walked in that door, what could they do to help? In your opinion, not necessarily what even is medically correct, which I don't want to advocate against that, but what do you feel like could help in those moments?
I mean, I feel like people try to, get me to go out or, get me out of the house.
You don't want to get up out of bed. That's not it.
Right. And so I think for me, it's just, I don't know, someone coming and getting me physically. Mm-hmm. And forcing me to do something, which sounds awful, but I think that's sometimes what I need. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily forcing me to eat, because, if you don't feel like eating, you're probably not going to eat much. But even just getting me and going to the gym, just to get my mind off of it for a little bit.
Do you, did you experience or feel any of this when you were in high school?
Not to the extent, but definitely, like, with the anxiety. Mm-hmm. God, looking back, there's so many signs of it, like, even from, like, when I'm younger.
Like what?
Like, my freshman year, before we had Sub-State and Independence against Chanute, we were in the final. And, you know, I was starting.
The annual Sub-State matchup with them.
And I was, when I was starting, and, you know, I was a freshman, and we were in the locker room before, and I guess I was pretty white. I was pretty pale. And Wilson comes up to me, and she goes, do you need a brown bag? And I was like, no, I'm okay. And I just, and, like, even in the starting lineup, you could tell I was just freaking out. And so Snyder said something in my ear, and, you know, like, they could tell. And
even said, do you remember what she said?
I don't remember what she said. But she used to say that stuff, like,
all she the says time. That to every player, every game. She right. She'll say something.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, at that point, she didn't very much. Mm-hmm. She's changed. But she has. even from
the time I've been here, I noticed it significantly. Yeah,
for sure. But and then at the state tournament that same year, the first game we were playing, I want to say it was McPherson. Mm-hmm. But it was when they were, like, really, really good and we weren't.
Yeah.
I think it took us, like, 5 minutes to score our first points, and their crowd was cheering for us. But before we got introduced to that game, I looked over to Wilson. I said, do you have that brown bag? Do you have that? Because I need that right now. And she looked at me, and, you know, she could tell that I was freaking out. And so even then, you know, I had those signs of panic attacks and anxiety early. But I don't think that depression really manifested until towards the recruiting process for me. Mm-hmm. The recruiting process was hard. I've talked about it where, you know, I've had schools call me and, you know, talk to me for a couple weeks and send me mail and send me emails and call me and whatever. And then all of a sudden I'll get a text or I'll get, you know, an email saying, you know, we've decided to go a different way. You're just too small.
I bet you some of them just straight up ghosted you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I was lucky if I got a text. Yeah. And that was something that I really struggled with because, you know, it's one thing if I can't shoot or I can't dribble or if I can't, you know, do something physically mm-hmm. that I could change. But something that I can't control, like my height.
That's probably what.
That is what really hurt. And mm-hmm. so I really just felt like.
Because the way I watched you play, mm-hmm. I could tell you wanted to control everything.
Right.
That sense of control has always been valuable to you in how you play the game.
Right.
And that was true with golf, too. And golf is so much more a sport that it's so much harder to control.
Right, right.
I feel like, if anything, at times, golf was harder on you than basketball.
Mentally, yes.
Yes. Yeah. At least over the course of one tournament compared to one basketball game.
Oh, yeah.
The season sure. grind may be different for basketball because you feel like there's more riding on it. But, I mean, just watching you play, I was like, she's going to control every aspect of this game. And to an extent, that's why I always was like, well, Bet County can win any game because Erica's out there and going to control the pace of this.
Right.
Since you've been at Bemidji and since this article came out, everything like that, I am curious, do you see a therapist? Do you take any meds? What has been your process in addressing this and dealing with it?
Right. After I had that panic attack after the basketball game, I really realized that I needed to do something. Like, I couldn't do this anymore.
I'm sure that was at the urging, to an extent, of the trainer who was there with
you. Well, yeah. But, I mean, even then, like, it was before Christmas, and I was getting ready to go home, and mm-hmm. I decided, you know, when I got back to Bemidji, I was going to see a doctor. And so I saw a doctor, and they tried a couple different medications, and it took, you know, you're supposed to stay on them for like 2 weeks to see if they work. And so it was just a process of, you know, 2 weeks here, 2 weeks here, 2 weeks here until I found something. And I really haven't found something until the last 2 months.
Yeah.
Because it takes a long
time. Sometimes science is more art than science.
Right. You know, everyone's different, and there's not, you know, one medication that's going to work. And even then, you know, I've found that this mm-hmm. medicine is going to probably plateau at some point, and I'm going to have to change again. And so it's just this ongoing cycle. And so that started about a year ago from, I guess, mm-hmm. from today. And then I started to see a therapist much I did not want to at all. I still, you know, every time I schedule that appointment, I want to cancel it right away. Yeah. You know, I don't want to go talk about my feelings. I don't want to sit there and have them psychoanalyze me as I'm, you know, dealing with my issues. I know I have issues. Mm-hmm. But as much as I want to say it hasn't helped, I would say that therapy has helped the most. Mm-hmm. Just because...
You seem more open with me. You know, we've done two interviews, this interview and then the one we did after your freshman year of college. Yeah. You seem more open and... You seem more true to yourself now than you did your freshman year.
Yeah.
I mean, I not that you weren't
right.
your freshman year, yeah. but I mean, this one has definitely seemed more.
Yeah. Like I said, I found more peace with myself, just, mm-hmm. you know, self-reflecting and, you know, being accepting towards my differences. Mm-hmm. And so something the therapist has helped me with is, you know, not placing all of my energy into one outcome. And so, like, for basketball, it's like, okay, I want to play this many minutes. I want to score this many points. You know, taking that attachment to the outcome is going to take away my anxiety. And it's really, really helped. And I think that's why I'm having such a good time with basketball right now.
Yeah.
As opposed to in the last couple of years, you know, worrying and, you know, putting so much extra time into it and, you know, having all these expectations and putting all this pressure on myself and how that's not really worked out. And so just this next year, how it's about letting things come to me.
Yeah.
As opposed to trying to force things.
You know, you said one of the biggest sources of anxiety you have is the future. Well, there was a quite, you know, thinking through all of this about how I wanted to conduct this interview, one of the questions that popped in my mind, and you're one of the few athletes that I've gotten to ask this question because you're one of the few athletes that has made it through 4 years of an NCAA school since I've been here in my local coverage area, mm-hmm. partially because I've only been here 6 years, so there's just not only two classes could have even had that opportunity, right. And I think you're the only one that went NCAA in my first 2 years here.
Potentially.
Yeah. So out of all the schools that I cover.
Yeah.
And so the question I wanted to ask is about your future. You're a senior right now.
Yes.
And you are facing, I can see that look on your face. I can tell you've already thought about this and it's given you stress and anxiety, mm-hmm. but you are facing a time of reckoning soon. Basketball, which has been such a huge part of your identity,
right.
is, I don't want to say you're going to leave behind basketball. You're not going to be a basketball player right. here in a couple yeah. months.
Right.
And that part of your life's going to be behind you. What's your major in, real quick?
Chemistry.
Yeah. I am curious as to how you are preparing for your future, what you want to be professionally.
Right.
If you're going to try and keep basketball in your life, and how do you feel like you're preparing for that psychologically?
Right.
I know me putting behind being a manager, even though I was still going to be a sports writer, still going to be very much in it. When we lost to Kentucky... When we lost to Kentucky in the NCAA tournament in the first round, we were an 8 seed and we lost a 9 seed Kentucky.
Yeah.
They went on to the Final Four that year. I maintain that Kentucky team was underseeded.
Yeah.
But I remember Bruce Weber was giving his post-game talk in the locker room. And he's a great speaker, but at some times he doesn't have the nuance to ease into something.
Yeah.
And so he just said, for you seniors, it's over. I just bawled right on the spot there.
Yeah.
And John Curry was our athletic director at the time. And for whatever reason, a lot of media and a lot of people didn't like John Curry at K-State. He did a lot of good things, but he had some controversies. And I'll always love John Curry for this moment, though, which is he was standing right next to me when I was bawling my eyes out. And he brought me in and hugged me.
Yeah.
This, you know, multimillionaire athletic director of a Big 12 program, you know, hugging the student manager who's disposable. I could tell he cared in that moment. And, you know, the process of getting acclimated to Parsons, Kansas, and being a sports writer who's sustaining himself completely financially and living on his own, right. that has been an acclimation process that is still going to this day.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have my own battles with it. I'm curious as to how you're preparing for it and what you envision your future here in 6 months.
Oh, goodness. I don't know what I want to do, which is typical. But I mean, I've thought about trying to get into coaching, but you know, that's so hard to get into right away, and it's, you know, not a well-paying job, quite honest. So
the JUCO assistants in the Jayhawk are making like 18-20K.
Yeah, and that's
nothing. Right.
I mean,
you can literally make more at McDonald's.
Right. Yeah, and so like with my degree, I'm hoping to have a job right out of college. Like, I want to have it right after I graduate.
What kind of job would you get with a chemistry degree you see yourself going into?
I want to get something in like a lab right away. Like my mom does quality control for a fertilizer company. We have the same degree. Like, I could go do that. I could go to like pharmaceuticals. I could, you know, do different things like that. But I really want to get into like the environmental side.
That's what I was just going to ask.
Right.
Do something with environmental science.
Yeah. And so I've been looking at jobs overseas. So like in like Switzerland and Austria, or, you know, somewhere in Europe that has, you know, a good economy and is making strides in, you know, in the environmental side of things. And so I've looked at that. You know, I don't want to go to grad school right now. I'm just really, really tired of school in general. So I'm probably not going to take that route. But, you know, it's still up in the air.
I would say a lot. There, one of my buddies, Shane Southwell, he was a GA at K-State. He was a player on my same class.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time he was done with the GA, you know, which was 2 years, he was like, no more school.
Yeah.
I'm done with school.
Right.
And he said that when he graduated, too, from his undergrad. I don't think he wanted to do the GA, the G stuff of,
right.
of GA.
Yeah.
But
I mean, as far as basketball, letting it go, it's something that I've thought about like the past couple months, just because trying to mentally prepare for it. Like, I know it's coming. It's coming inevitably. And so just trying to enjoy the last couple months that I have and making the most of it. And so saying to myself that, you know, I didn't leave anything. I have no regrets. And so I think that'll help me afterwards kind of become, you know, an alum and a retired athlete.
I know coaching would be – I'm not going to push you any route, because I think you should do what makes you happiest. I know that if I had a daughter, by the time she gets to basketball playing age, whatever age that is, if Erica Gardner was a coach, I'd feel pretty confident about that. Yeah. So there, I have like a short list of people that I would want to coach my kids in any given sport.
Yeah.
And, you know, Erica Gardner is certainly on that list. I promise you that.
Yeah.
You know, Heather would be on that list for volleyball.
Yeah.
Snyder and Coach Overacker over at Cherryville are probably on the girls' basketball list. If I have a son and they play football, it's probably going to be Keith Watrick over at St. Paul or Kurt Fries here at Parsons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a boys' basketball, it's probably Hauk.
Yeah.
you know, there's a lot of... I know that you are, I know that's going to be a hard choice for you, but I know this about you too. You've never not been successful in the 6 years I've followed you. And I would say most people that, I would say your parents would say the same thing for, what are you, 21, 22 now?
21, yeah.
21. For your 21 years, you've been successful for 21 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see that, I don't see that formula changing just because it's 22 now.
Yeah.
Overseas, you're just going to keep going as far and far away as possible. You're going to be on some Mars mission eventually.
I want to travel while I'm young, while I'm not, you know, necessarily tied down to a job. And so, I mean, that's something that I've really grown into at Minnesota. Like, that's something that I never thought I would be able to do, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. And so, you know, it opened some doors for me.
Yeah. We're near the end of our time here. Last question. And I've asked this for a couple athletes, and you know, I think your answer will be one of the more interesting. Athletes struggling with mental health, struggling with what they want to do for their future.
Mm-hmm.
You've made some very bold choices in both of those realms,
right?
And you have found success, and you've found pain in all of that.
Mm-hmm.
What's your advice to anybody? What's your advice to not necessarily 18-year-old Erica, but an 18-year-old who's in 18-year-old Erica's shoes,
right?
Trying to make some hard choices about maybe where she wants to go to college athletically, how, or any high schools that may have to leave a sport behind, or everything you've gone through. What is your hindsight advice to that?
I would say you know, don't be afraid to try something, even if it's wrong. You know, it's, you're not going to be perfect at anything. You're going to have anxiety about different things, and it's not necessarily going to go away. You know, you have to trust yourself and be comfortable with yourself and find what you think is right, not necessarily what other people think is right. You know, you have to be confident that, you know, it might not be the right thing. Going up to Bemidji, I thought I was going to be, I didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, I'm a kid, you know, 18 year old. Right. I chose that. And I still think about that to this day, you know, what my parents were going through. And even like people in the community who'd say, you know, what are you doing? You know, mm-hmm. what are you thinking? You know, I get that. Like, I'm a crazy kid. Like, it somehow worked out for me, you know?
And there's no somehow about it. That you were, as, you know, crazy gets this type of stigma. Crazy's right for you.
Yeah.
And it's a good crazy because yeah. you are fearless, and you have always, you know, kind of, and there's a price with being fearless mm-hmm. because I know nobody actually is fearless. And so that manifests itself more in the dark than it does in the light. Right. But
I mean, just to trust yourself. And if you're struggling with things, don't be afraid to reach out. Because, I mean, ultimately, you're not alone. Not alone in the slightest. So just to have fun with life. You only get one of them, and, you know, don't take that for granted.
My guess is if someone DMs Erica Gartner on Twitter, you'd even respond to that even if you don't know him. Sure. There you go. Yeah. That'll do it here on The War Room. I've teased this interview a couple times already, and, you know, I really thank you for coming on, Erica.
It's a pleasure, always.
You know, go catch some of her, if you can, do they live stream any games at Bemidji?
Yeah.
Go watch some live streams of her last year there. She's, you know, Division II NCAA point guard. Those are fairly rare coming out of here. And she has found success. She is the epitome of what I feel like somebody in this community can accomplish. Erica Gartner, LeBec County High School alum and soon to be Bemidji State University alum.
Coming close.
Thank you for joining us on The War Room here today. Have a blessed Monday morning, everybody, and join us again next week. Take care.